Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So, Megan, you just got back from Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing there?
Oh, I was there for the Real Housewives of Orange County reunion.
My God. Okay, so obviously you can't say too much, but why don't you give our listeners a little something-something, and me a little something-something.
Backstage, everyone seemed in good spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little worried.
Right.
I will say I had sort of predicted it would be Kelly versus a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it was.
Okay.
Vicky has what will probably be the most memorable and most talked about moment on the reunion.
Okay.
And Shane was there. Emily's husband.
Were any of the other husbands there?
No.
Okay. Well, obviously he's probably the most talked about husband this season, or partner, man, other than maybe Matt.
It was funny because I interviewed him backstage and I was like, you know, why don't we go into this little green room that was empty? And he's like, no, I want to be in the same room as Emily. Like, you know, just he's not used to it.
I think,
you know, the cameras and stuff. So he's in there while she's getting her makeup done and I'm asking him questions. And every time he answers, she's like, that's not what they're asking, Shane. And like, she was right. Like she was, like she could translate Shane.
Does he just not get it?
I don't know.
I don't think he gets it.
Like, so one, for example, I said, is there anything that you look back on and weren't particularly pleased with that you saw?
That's a pretty straightforward question.
And he was like, from the show? No, I mean, Bravo does a great job. Like, I don't like the other ladies. And Emily goes, no, Shane, they're asking if you're regretful of any of the things you said to me.
Oh my God. He really, I mean, I guess he just doesn't understand it all. And Emily's just like, every time they're filming together, that's just her trying to be like, can you just pay attention?
And he's like, oh, so it was all me? Nothing you need to apologize? And I was like, oh my God, I'm in the middle of it. I'm watching it happen in real life.
It happens off camera as it does on.
Yes.
Now we know that.
Yeah. But everyone looked great. A lot of sparkles.
Mm-hmm. Who was your best dressed?
I actually really liked Vicky's dress. I don't know how it'll read on camera, but I liked it in person.
Okay. How did Bronwyn do?
I liked Bronwyn's dress.
Even just at the reunion, though, did she hold her own? I mean, first reunion, first season housewife.
She did well. I remember Tinsley's first reunion for Real Housewives of New York. Mm-hmm. And I remember her not really speaking unless she was spoken to.
Yeah.
Bronwyn, you know, she definitely interjected.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're going to show up, show up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, sounds like we're in for a doozy.
Yes.
I can't wait to see the Vicky moment.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, not only did you just get back from the Real Housewives of Orange County reunion, but we also have another major event coming up in just a couple days.
BravoCon!
Oh my God. We have our very first live show.
Yes.
And where better to have it than BravoCon?
First ever BravoCon.
Yeah, and first ever live show.
I mean,
so many firsts. And if you're going to be at BravoCon, you can catch us at Skylight Modern at 6:30 p.m. on Saturday the 16th.
Did you catch E's People Choice Awards?
I did. I caught some of the red carpet moments because they had this really cool camera that was capturing like social moments.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really great because you get like the full outfits because sometimes you don't get the full looks with these award shows, but the camera they were using was really cool. So we had a ton of Bravo celebrities there, a ton of nominations. We had a bunch of the Pump Rules guys. We had Ariana Maddox was there, Tom Sandoval, Sheena.
Yeah.
My girl.
We had Candy Burris from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, we had Kyle, Lisa Rinna, Dorit, and Teddy.
Yeah. Kyle's still rocking the bangs.
Fringe.
That she was also rocking while filming the new Halloween movie.
Oh.
She's going to reprise her role as Lindsay Wallace. Mm-hmm. And hopefully not get killed in the first 5 minutes.
We shall see.
So today we're going to talk Real Housewives of Dallas, Travis's birthday, Real Housewives of New Jersey, second episode of the season, and Real Housewives of Atlanta, second episode of the season.
And we have interviews with Margaret Josephs and Dolores Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey.
And Rose and Thorne. Let's talk Jersey first. Okay, so I have a proposal, a pitch, if you will. I want to see a Real Housewives of New Jersey film.
Mm-hmm.
I want Lady Gaga to play Teresa.
Oh.
And I want the story to be about this journey that Joe and Teresa are on. Because the opening of this week's episode was very cinematic. Like, it had her, you know, like, in the gym, and it was, like, all of this footage. And just the editing felt so, like, movie montage to me.
Cinematic.
Yeah, and it just came to me as, like, wait a minute. Gaga's next Oscar-nominated role could be playing Teresa Giudice. But I was trying to think of, like, what actor or actress, you know, could play Teresa, and I went right to Gaga. Like, Italian, she's from the area. Like, I think she could really embody Teresa.
Definitely. I think you were spot on.
Okay, well, everyone clock that I said this first, and if a movie ends up getting made and I don't get a cut of it, I'm suing the studio.
Okay. Okay.
So Joe has been transferred to the ICE facility. We saw him call Teresa in the middle of the night at the end of the last episode. So now he is in basically this really terrible holding pattern, trying to figure out where he's going to go, if he's going to get to stay, if he's going to get deported.
Right. And it seems like it's worse than the facility he was in before.
Yeah.
So that's not great.
It's really tough watching him go through this now that we know he's out, and like all of the pictures from this past weekend with the kids reunited and Teresa and everything, you know, knowing that he went through all of this like suffering, and now that he's come out the other side and he seems happy, healthier, and now he's with his kids. Like, it's crazy to see the two opposite sides of it.
Right. As far as Real Housewives events go, I have to say the obstacle course, not a favorite of mine.
No?
Especially in like freezing weather in Jersey.
Yeah.
It just looked miserable.
Right.
And then Teresa decides to bring Danielle, whom no one is friends with.
Decides to bring Danielle and decides to not invite Jackie at all, which is like, eh, okay. A little bit understandable, right?
Right, because she's accused Teresa of cheating on Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, the two of them are just like, what was it? Oil and water.
Yes.
Or oil and vinegar it was first, right?
Right.
And then they were like, I think you mean oil and water.
This is why I didn't give her an invite to the birthday.
No, but them two are like oil and vinegar with them two.
They don't get along.
You didn't get like that with
oil and water.
I mean oil and vinegar.
Whatever. Oil and water. Vinegar, oil and water.
Oil and water.
Tomato, tomato, whatever.
Oil and vinegar are actually very delicious together.
Like, take some of that bread, dip it in, a little salt and pepper. Ooh, it's the Italian way, Teresa. Come on. So the obstacle course, everyone's freezing. Everyone has kind of fun. I think maybe they a little bit let Teresa win because I think the timing, technically they were 2 seconds behind, but I think everyone wanted to sort of uplift Teresa
right.
through this experience.
It. She needs it.
So we'll give her the 2 seconds. We'll give her the win. It's fine. She felt very accomplished. All well and good. What's not all well and good is what goes down at the lunch at Dolores' house after.
Right.
Which didn't we kind of expect that it wasn't just going to be like a kickback, relax, and have some food?
I know, but who do you feel like came in more hot, Margaret or Danielle?
You know what? I think Margaret.
I do too.
I think Margaret, but I don't think she can help herself.
Right.
And I almost don't blame her for that. You know, I wouldn't want to be around Danielle if I had gone through what Margaret did with her.
Yeah.
And so I think she just was waiting for a moment to say something and she took it.
And Margaret has this story of how Danielle stole her friend's boyfriend, fiance?
Yes. So first of all, Gina campaigning for next seasons of Real Housewives of New Jersey. Like, I think we have a candidate there.
Right.
Because she's a feisty little thing. and I like her. But yeah, so I guess we didn't really know that part of the story until this episode, but we did know that Danielle had found another man shortly after breaking up with Marty, and there were pictures, and you know, we covered it here on BravoTV.com, so we're all kind of like, oh my god, Danielle has moved on so quickly. I don't think we knew that connection.
Right.
Which is crazy.
It is.
Now 2 weeks after the ink was drying her divorce papers, Danielle posts on social media she's engaged to this guy Oliver, who's a duke.
She was my friend. What she has done is astounding to me.
Oliver happened to be dating my girlfriend Gina for the last 7 months.
I mean, she really is someone who just has a way with men. Like, what is it about Danielle Staub? So, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit crazy to know that there was just this cheating thing that Danielle was involved in because it's just, it's messy.
Right.
So very often Margaret is sort of the one who, especially from Jennifer, is positioned as the homewrecker.
Right.
Right? And then this whole situation that we find out about Danielle with Gina and her ex, it's the same principle.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope that if we're going to call people homewreckers, we're consistent about it and not picking and choosing who we're calling a homewrecker. We do actually also catch Danielle in a bit of a lie in the matter of a few seconds when we learn about Jennifer going to lunch with Danielle. She uses her real name.
Oh, right.
Big no-no. They part ways. Danielle is probably still a little pissed. Jennifer texts her to apologize. But then at this lunch, Danielle's like, you never texted me. And Jennifer's like, hold on, I have the text right here. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you're right. You did text me.
You said something that was very hurtful. And
but
when you,
I didn't
when
know I, that it was
but
hurtful.
But it's okay. But when I clarified, you kept repeating it over and over again as if you were inserting the knife every time.
I told you,
could have
you
said
I
you
was
were sorry.
Sorry. I texted you the next day.
No,
and there's
you didn't
multiple
actually.
Apologies. I have the text message, Danielle. I texted you
oh,
the
wait, you
very
did text
next
me a very
day.
Long message.
As soon as she went to present the evidence, Danielle
Suddenly remembered
that apology came through.
Wow.
And, you know, I do have to say, for someone who seems to be apology challenged, like Jennifer, she was quick to apologize to Danielle.
Yes.
So well done, Jennifer. She's learning.
I got the chance to sit down with Margaret Josephs from Real Housewives of New Jersey. I asked her all about her ongoing feud with Danielle Staub. She gave an update on Marge Sr. and she cleared up, you know, what really happened with that lawsuit in her company. Here's that interview. Yeah. Margaret Josephs, welcome back to the podcast.
Well, hello. I'm so happy to be back at the podcast.
I know. And excited to have you back on Jersey for your third season.
I mean, do you believe 3 years have just flown by?
Really have flown by. We've seen so many different ups and downs and different pieces of drama. And I was so... not concerned, but I was a little worried with how we left things at the reunion last season, and then to know you were coming back on this season with Danielle Staub.
I mean, seriously. I know. It was absolutely crazy. I mean, I didn't want to come back because, you know, that ship has sailed, sunk. I mean, it's the Titanic.
Right.
Legit.
I mean, I remember being at Danielle's home and you calling her. Like, you guys were talking every day for a while.
I mean, we were great friends prior to her wedding. But then when I saw the real Danielle, I guess when she got her little claws into Marty and she knew it was locked and loaded, she let her true colors show. And I'm not interested in that. I'm just not interested in not being authentic and real and game playing. So I had to distance myself.
Well, tell me, how did it go from you throwing Marty into the pool mm-hmm. to you being sort of a confidant to him?
Well, I think he also saw Danielle's true colors, and he had reached out to Joe. I mean, after that long-term marriage of 8 weeks, he just said, you know, I'm so sorry. I realize this wasn't for me. I mistreated you guys. And we take everybody back if you're truly sorry and authentic and mean it. And so Joe was like, speaking to him, and he told us everything going on, and we saw that she tried to character assassinate him in the press, and a lot of things she said about him weren't true because we were around for a lot of it. And then she gets a restraining order against him, like he's not, you know, it just wasn't nice. So of course he knew that we had lived it as well right. with him along the way, so I think he felt comfortable with us. He also made peace with her. And I was concerned for a little while, which you guys do see in the trailer, where I said, Marty, you know, I'll be the one to remind you not to go back to her. Because I think he does have a soft spot for her. But yeah. That's how it all had turned around.
And explain the situation with your friend Gina.
Oh, that's heavy. So Gina from Seesaw Boutique, I used to buy all my clothes there for years and years, still do. We're very good friends, and Danielle always liked certain pieces that I wore from this company, Camilla. I said, I always buy from Gina from Seesaw. I introduced her to Gina. She was an avid shopper there, became friends with Gina, had her daughter Jillian work there. Gina took Jillian in. So I just want to say their dynamic, because Danielle made out like they weren't good friends. Gina was at all Danielle's parties, her birthday parties. Even after Danielle and I stopped talking, Gina had felt badly, was still socializing with Danielle, and Gina and her husband had separated for a while and was going out with this guy, Oliver. This jet-setting socialite, Oliver. And big mistake, she introduces Danielle to the jet-setting socialite, Oliver. And when Gina's not looking, you know, she slips Oliver her phone number, and next thing you know, she's in St. Bart's with him. But Gina has no idea because Oliver's texting her and saying how much he loves her. And Danielle's posting she's with the, you know, the man of her dreams. And Gina was just devastated and was like, why would you do this? Why would you do this to me? And I was like, I am not shocked at all, but I was heartbroken for Gina because I also felt somewhat responsible because I was like, I brought this horrible person into her life. I introduced her thinking it'll be good business and everything else. And Gina was nothing but good to her. And that's what happened.
Mm. I know. We know from the Super Tease that things get crazy this season. What can you tell us about what is probably the most explosive moment?
The most explosive moment is I was obviously attacked from behind. My ponytail was pulled, but I'm wearing it today, so obviously it didn't come out. It's unbelievable, like I like to say. But it was, it's very upsetting. It was very, very upsetting. It was a sneak attack. Long after we had our altercation, I mean, you know, we all know who did it. None of my real friends would do something like that to me. And it's really unfortunate, really sad, especially considering that same person had her hair pulled and she sued the person. So the hypocrisy is rampant.
Right. I'm sure you came into this season with relationships sort of in a certain place with certain ladies. How have things evolved? Who are you close with today?
I feel like I'm very close with Dolores. I'm close with Melissa. I'm close with Jackie. Teresa and I have an understanding. We're close. We've mended fences. You could see we've had some explosive moments, even Teresa and myself. We don't always see eye to eye, though there's a deep bond and love there with us. Jennifer, I mean, I feel like we argue all the time. She's like having a bratty younger sister. I mean, she needs a correction. You know, Jennifer needs a correction sometimes. She doesn't know how to read the room.
Right.
She doesn't know her audience.
Well, and I always ask housewives if you guys are on a group chat together, on text maybe.
Not always. Sometimes if we're like all going to something together. But like a group chat, like the other night, Dolores, Teresa, and I had gone out to like another person's event who is not on, you know, who's not on our friend group, you know, but Dolores, Teresa, and I are friends with her. And Melissa and Jackie and I are in a group chat. So we're on group chats separately and sometimes all together.
Yeah. Who can you go to from this group more than anyone else? Who do you feel closest to?
It's funny. I feel close to two different people. I feel very close. I'm close to three people, really. Dolores, I believe it or not, I talk to every single day.
Wow.
But I'm very close with Melissa as a couple. Joe, as couples, and Melissa and I are super close. Melissa and Joe, we're super close. But then Jackie and I talk all the time. But right. I will say, I talk to Dolores every day, which is kind of funny.
That is.
You know, people don't realize it. We do speak on a regular basis. We don't see each other all the time. But we speak all the time.
Right.
But socially, I'm always with Melissa, mm-hmm. and we're very close also. But she's always running around.
Yeah. I have to ask, because it's what's on everyone's mind is the Joe and Teresa special.
Yes.
You watched it, I would assume.
Ran home from dinner, watched it. Yes, made sure.
What were your immediate thoughts watching it?
Heartbreaking. I felt sad. I think people didn't realize Joe was on satellite, so he couldn't see Teresa's emotion. He couldn't see exactly what was saying.
Mm.
So I think a lot of people writing to me, well, Joe's emotion. I was like, that's not the case. Number two, a lot of respect for both of them because I think they're making their decisions based on their family, not just as them as a couple. And I think people don't realize, you know, it's bigger than the both of them. It's about their girls. It's about their family. And there's a lot of love for the family and her daughters. So I think any decision they make, I'm supportive of them no matter what they decide. And I think they're going to make it as a collective team about their family. And I'm very supportive of Teresa.
Well, I know that in the first episode, the cheating rumors, yes. Teresa with another guy come up. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so curious, you know, despite what Teresa says and despite, you know, that whole situation, like what in your gut did you think happened?
I think you could go out with men and not sleep with them. I think, you know, it's okay to get male attention. I think, but I don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and I don't care. That was my take on cheating all along. I think everybody, you don't walk in anybody's shoes, but if she says nothing happened, and, you know, I also thought when, you know, she was saying she has guy friends, there's nothing wrong with having guy friends. There's nothing wrong with having male attention. That doesn't mean you're definitely sleeping with them.
Right.
And you know what? It was a young guy. It's safe. You know, it's safe. Mm. She's not running away with some young guy.
Right. What do you think you would do if you were in her shoes today?
What would I do if I was in her shoes today? I would probably be waiting to go. I know she's going to be going with her daughters to see him in Italy shortly. You don't know how you feel till you see the person. And just work it out as a family. And I would take my time to make any decisions. They haven't been together as a family in 3.5 years. They haven't been together as a couple in 3.5 years. And I think I would just wait and see how I feel and see how everything happens.
Yeah. We've followed a lot of your family drama, the children, your stepchildren with Jan. Any update you can share with us?
The only update is my relationship with my two kids are strained. I mean, there are 4 other children in the mix that I really never talk about on the show. And I like to just bring it up now because everyone's like, you don't talk to your kids. You can't talk about motherhood. I do have a natural born child. I keep him very, very private because that's the way my children choose to be. They're all grown adults. Joe has 2 adult children who also remain very private. My stepson, Brett, you know, always comes on the show with me. So we are close with most of our children. It's very sad about my other kids. We text. I'll text them. But you know what? My kids are very happy. And they're all very successful, happy, have beautiful lives. And you're only as happy as your unhappiest child. And my kids are happy. And that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah. There have to be so many good things that have come out of being a Real Housewife.
Yes.
What's sort of the best?
That you can make a difference. That you have a platform that you can be philanthropic. And you can make changes and be heard. And I think that's very important to me. And I have a voice that can make a difference. I'm doing a charity event this Saturday. I do charity events at least twice a week. And that's super, super important to me. And that does make a difference. Mm. And that's the most important thing that we could do. Anybody on this platform can make a difference and do good things.
There have to be hard times too, though, I would think. Was there any moment this season that made you think, I'm done with this show?
Oh, yeah, when I got my hair pulled.
Really?
At that second, I looked into the camera and said, I'm done. I don't know people like this. I mean, I've never been physically assaulted by anybody I've known. My mother never hit me as a little girl. I think I've never hit my kids. I think I pinched my son once and he had a nervous breakdown. That's never happened. I'm just not that person. Yes, did I throw wine in Danielle's face? I mean, she pushed me to the absolute limit. Do I douse her with what you could see on the show? Because I thought she was going to hit me, and she came in, you know, looking for a physical altercation. But at that moment, I was like, I'm leaving this. This is not for me. I really thought at that moment I can never be here again.
Were the other wives supportive in the way that you needed them to be?
Yes, most of them. I'd say most of them. Mm. Not everyone.
Have to imagine maybe Teresa wasn't one of
them.
Well,
you'll have to. Well, Megan, I'm sure you're going to watch it. I'm sure you know. But I think everybody will eventually come around. But it wasn't easy. And I think some people's point of view is bizarre. Like I say, we're not the mafia. You know, it's not a grudge holding thing. It's bizarre to lay your hands on someone. I mean, it was really, I was taken aback. But I don't come from that. I don't know from that. I don't know people like that.
What is the deal with Danielle and Teresa? I don't understand the strong connection, especially, you know, when no one else in the group is really that close with Danielle.
Yes.
What do you think it is?
I think it was the fact that Teresa just wanted a good time. I think it was much deeper for Danielle. I think Danielle was much more calculated on her part. I think Teresa, it was much lighter. She felt guilty. She felt sorry that, you know, Danielle had guilt or said, you were mean to my daughters, you were this, you were that. And Teresa had a guilt feeling about it, that maybe she had hurt her previously. And that now she was just like, she just took it light. Danielle's about a good time. Let's have a drink. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know, she was more entertainment for her. And Therese is very much of the motto, well, she didn't do anything to me. I don't live by that rule. Mm. And I'm trying to show Therese that you have to judge people by the way they treat everybody else, just not by the way they treat you.
Right.
And I've stood by that since I've been on the show.
Right. Tell me about the Macbeth collection. What's happening there?
Yeah. Things are going fabulous. Thank God. I mean, what you guys will see on this season, I talk about my lawsuits. I talk about I've been in business for 20 years, which is, I cannot believe it for 20. I mean, that's a long time that I've survived so many ups and downs. It's going really, really well. You'll see us debuting a jewelry line. I've never done jewelry before. And we sell to, you know, large retailers, Burlington being one of them, who's just started debuting our jewelry line. We're doing hair accessories. So the business is really growing. It's a very tough retail climate. As anybody knows, there's freaking tariffs, there's this, there's that, you know, all the crazy bullshit that's going on in the world. But it's got, you know, it's going great. And I've been very, very fortunate to survive. And I employ a lot of women and I'm all about it. And Lexi brings her baby to work and business is great.
Lastly, we want to know about Marge Sr.
Oh,
what is she up to?
Oh, crazy Marge Sr. Uh-huh. Well, she flies the coop this season. Marge Sr., you know, she has life goals at age 73. And one of them was to obviously get away from her daughter and get a job in the city. So Marge Sr. happens to be working in the city right now, living her best life. So you guys will get to see that, which is crazy because Marge Sr. is like out all night, tripping the life fantastic. And so she's doing fabulous and she moves and there's a lot. There's a lot with me and Marge Sr. this season talking about our relationship.
How's her love life?
She's, this is funny. She went out on a date with a guy the other day and she had a rage because he was texting her and she's like, I can't go out. This guy's not tech savvy. I go, Ma, what do you mean? And she's just like, he texts me and says, I don't know your phone number. She goes, you're texting my phone. She's like, and then he wanted to pick me up. I don't want him to know where I live. I thought I'd meet him at the restaurant. I'm like, Ma, he's an old school gentleman. Just let him pick you up. I'm sure he's much more attractive if you're sitting on the beach in Saint-Tropez. I'm like, he's loaded. Just like, you know, off of my payroll onto his.
Amazing. We'll send her our love, please.
I absolutely will.
And thank you for coming on.
Aw, thanks for having me.
Real Housewives of Atlanta. Still no NeNe.
Still no NeNe.
That was surprising.
I know. Because they're talking about her. She's coming up a little bit more in this episode with everything going on with Cynthia and just, you know, with Kenya back in the picture. So NeNe is like always present in some way, but just not around.
Not around. So, I mean, we get a big reveal this episode, which is Noelle, Cynthia's daughter.
Sexually fluid.
Dates both women and men.
I am so excited.
I definitely ended up meeting a couple of girls that I thought were cool, like in a romantic aspect.
So you like guys and girls?
People like to try to box everybody in and put labels on everything, but I don't really do that.
Okay. So you just like what you like.
Yeah, and that's just what it is.
Don't put a label on her.
Right, and you know that I love Noelle, and I'm always happy when she shows up. And she looks so great, first of all. And I love how open she was with Cynthia. I mean, she just kind of was like, here's the thing. I've been in college. I'm figuring it out. I'm exploring. I'm not committing to anyone or anything. Like, I'm just being me. And Cynthia doing the thing that any parent should do when they hear that information was like, good for you. As long as you find someone that makes you happy and they're a good person, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I loved that interaction. It was such a great conversation to be able to witness.
Yeah, I was getting some like sexually fluid vibes from Noelle as soon as we like saw her in the car, like the hair, just like the energy. I was like, all right. I was like, I feel like we're going to get something. And then we got something.
Interesting.
I know. We just like, we know.
Yes.
We can feel each other.
Right.
Through the screen. Speaking of children, what I thought was really funny at the beginning of the episode when Cynthia, Portia, and Candy get together, they have like lunch. Portia shows up and Candy calls out like, you're not wearing heels anymore. Like, what's going on? And I had pointed out last week's episode, like Portia seems like you can see it on her that she is very emotional. She's very stressed out. Like, this is really wearing on her. But what I thought was really funny is she, in front of Candy, Portia says that she doesn't want multiple kids by different fathers.
Right.
And I was a little bit like, oh.
Why did you say you don't have another child?
Because I don't know. I'm not having a child by two different daddies. That's what I'm not going to do.
Like, you do know you're saying this in front of Candy.
Who has.
Yeah. And
kids
I don't
from
think
different fathers.
Candy received it in that way at all. Like, I think Candy was just sort of like, all right, you know, it didn't become a thing. But I was waiting for Candy to a little bit be like, what's wrong with that, you know?
Okay, also, what struck me was how Candy, you know, I understand that Candy and Cynthia are trying to understand what happened between Dennis and Portia because there are all these allegations and Portia is not proactively shooting any of them down.
Right, right.
But Candy said, oh, so it was just regular cheating? You can get over that. And I was like... Can you? Like, yeah. Not everyone does.
Just regular. It's like cheating light.
I mean, that's still a big betrayal.
Yeah. I mean, for her to be pregnant during it, for them to have gotten engaged, for him to have moved into her house. Like, I mean, there are so many layers to it.
And I also felt like her sister Lauren was saying the same thing.
Yeah.
After Portia's therapy, where she was just like, you don't have to be done. You can get over this. And it's like, but you didn't. Like, that is a hard thing to just tell someone to do.
Right, right. And I mean, Portia, in this moment, we see her being so emotional about it. And she is just like, I think this is something that's unforgivable. Like, I don't think I can move past this. But I do wonder, will she?
Right.
By the end of this season, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily trust that she will never forgive Dennis.
Right.
I think it's like forgive but don't forget. You don't forgive people always because they deserve it, but sometimes it's what needs to be done. So I feel like we might see her face that choice.
Well, if she's already like slipping back into sleeping with him, I mean, I think that's a pretty apt prediction.
Well, I don't think she should be sleeping with him if he's taking the ring back from her.
Oh, I know.
Like, what? No.
I mean, Emily Post would say that if you're breaking off an engagement, you're supposed to give the ring back.
But what's
however,
he gonna do with it?
If cheating is involved, right. I think you keep the ring.
Well, and it's like he takes the ring back, but then he comes over and hangs out and they watch, like, you know, Netflix and chill all night. And then he stays over and then he kisses her on the mouth when they're trying to leave. And I loved when she was like, Lizzie, put that camera down. And the cameras are like, Dennis is here. We got to get this. And they're like trying to capture this moment. And you see him being affectionate with her. I mean, he had spent the night. So it's like, it just feels like Dennis wants to do everything on his terms and not on Portia's. And it's just like, that's disrespectful.
Yeah. You know? I was upset though. We didn't get to see the therapy session. I mean, I understand why, but I wanted to know what Dennis has to say.
Yeah. I wonder whose call that was. If it was Dennis being like, I don't want this filmed, or if it was Portia being like, we don't need this right now. Like, I'm very curious because I think in the Super Tease, we do see a session with them at some point this season. So I'm not sure when we'll get that, but there's obviously more therapy to come with those two.
Yeah.
What do you think of Monty Marlowe?
I mean, I think that might be my rose this week.
Wow.
The fact that she's taken on this great responsibility and is taking care of her sister's kids, that's amazing.
I know.
Wow, so you're a Monty now.
A Monty girl.
How did that happen?
I got a text from my nephew that said, Auntie, can you come and pick me up? He's like, the people are here taking my mom away. And I'm like, the police? He's like, no, the mental ward. She's bipolar, schizophrenic. So, and it's like, oh my God, I don't want to go to cry. It's a lot.
And it's crazy to think that Candy had no idea.
Yeah.
That all of this has kind of unfolded in the last 5 months. And it's like, can you imagine your friend showing up to like a play date? And they're like, well, actually, I'm the legal guardian for two children right now, plus this other one that I'm babysitting every single day. Like, damn. I'd be like, Marla, whoa.
It is nice to see that side of her, though. I feel like we get a very one side of Marlo, typically.
Right. That's true. I had one more thought about Portia and Dennis.
Okay.
Some parallels between Real Housewives of Orange County, Gina and Matt.
Mm.
There's sort of this like cheating breakup. I mean, Gina and Matt were married, had multiple children, had a very different, a much longer term relationship. But we see, you know, Portia letting Dennis come back in. We know that Gina did the same thing with Matt, letting him stay the night. They had sex. It's sort of interesting to see these women kind of in very different relationships and different situations, but there's just like very similarities. A lot of similarities. It's just hard to say no, I guess.
Yeah.
To someone that you were going to build a life with. So maybe they should call each other, talk through it.
Yeah.
I got the chance to speak with Dolores Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey, and we talked about the brand new season, what to expect, a little bit about Frankie Jr. and his modeling career, her new boyfriend, David, and how she deals with being in business with her ex, Frank. Plus, we talked a little bit about Teresa and everything that she and the family have been going through, and if both Gia and Melania are going to become lawyers. Here's that interview. Guys, we're here with Dolores Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Hey, Dolores.
Hey.
How are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited.
We're so excited to have you and so excited about the new season.
Oh, it's good. We don't disappoint.
Well, okay. So I have to ask first about Frankie Jr. He is
Frankie
in shape, sophomore in college.
Yes.
Modeling now?
He's doing some modeling. It's so funny. His friend took some pictures of him. Put it on Instagram. And next thing you know, he gets like 8 book covers.
Right.
Yeah. And then he doesn't tell me. Like, he's like, Mom, I'm going to be on a book. I'm like, yeah. I always blow Frankie off because I don't believe what he's saying. Like, and then it's like he's on a romance novel thing.
Right. So it's like cheesy romance novels.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't read it. I tried. I was like, oh, let me read. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah. Like, this is not for me.
This is
So we see in the first couple of episodes, you know, Frankie, David, everyone gets along so well. So what did you do to help nurture that kind of relationship?
Well, you know, I wouldn't tolerate anything else.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend happens to be a very confident man. Doctors usually are.
Yeah.
You know, and Frank likes him. They've grown close. It's like a huge bromance going on.
It really is.
Next season, I'll be the maid of honor at their wedding, the way it's going.
Right.
No, I'm not kidding.
Well, they're like cuddling in the kitchen.
No one cares where I am. I'm like, yeah, I'm not coming home tonight. No one even answers. Where are you? Ask me where I'm going, somebody. So it's really nice. The funny thing is, I wake up in the morning and I have two men in my kitchen. One making my coffee, David, who 2 years ago wouldn't give me the time of day.
Yeah.
I was way more into him than he was into me.
Yeah, you guys weren't seeing each other that much.
We weren't. And he was a little like snobby to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I was attracted to him. And, you know, those times in your life, timing's everything. Another time I would have probably headbutted him. But at the time that I had met him, I was like this soft spoken, like I was going through a thing, you know, I was down and out and I really enjoyed him. Why, I don't know at the time, but he's come full circle. So I have him making my coffee, and then I have Frank, who broke my heart into a million pieces 21 years ago, taking out my garbage, and is now my personal assistant. I hired him to be my personal assistant. So I'm like...
It sounds like the ideal situation, to
I
be honest.
I feel like a boss.
You are be a boss. With you.
I'm like, yeah, you know.
Well, in the beginning of the season, too, we see you and Frank are building a house for David. So what is the status of the house right now?
Another 2 weeks and it's done.
Wow. Okay, so we've come a long way.
We have. It's beautiful.
Is it to your liking?
I picked out everything from the studs up. It was grounded, just a plain lot. And I have been working on that house for a year.
Now, did we stay within the B word budget?
Don't even ask David. If I hear one more time, you blew the budget on the master bathroom. You blew the budget. Like, they were carrying the marble up on their backs on the stairs. I love Italy. And there was I replicated the bathrooms at the places I've been in Italy.
Right.
And I mean, I kept telling him, Frank didn't charge him to build a house. Frank's a contractor. You got a house built for free.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't talk to me about a budget.
Right.
Please. Whatever.
So how is the house flipping business going?
Well, now I'm kind of separating from Frank. Frankie and I are going to do some house flipping together. My son, Frankie. And that's where I want to start. We used to own a lot of homes. I don't know if you know that. And Frank is now in the building and selling. Frank wants to build new construction. I'm not into that.
Yeah.
I'd rather buy houses, fix them up, keep them, rent them. Real estate is always the best investment.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah. You joked about Frank and David potentially getting married next year. Are there any updates on an engagement for you?
Well, that's yet to be seen.
Okay.
You know, there's going to be a very pivotal time coming up where it's like, what are we doing? I say, do I want to get married? But I would like a commitment.
Yeah. Well, that's what you say. You're not sure if you want to move into the new house because you want a real commitment first. So
listen, I'm nobody's fool. Okay. Yeah. Let me just tell you something. I don't give a fuck about that house. That he built me a $2 million house. Every single thing I could ever want, I had put in that house. Mm-hmm. My blood, sweat, and tears. My friends chipped in. Frank Catania, everything. And he's like, oh, yeah, this is your house. This is my house? Bro, how's in my house? My name is on it?
Right.
My name isn't on it. You're not going to pillow talk me.
Yeah.
Okay, it's my house. It's my name. He's like, what? I go, are we, you know, how would you like me to move into this without a commitment? This is your commitment. Okay, let's see. You think that I love this house so much that I would deviate from my principles? I never have.
Yeah.
So.
So we're going to see a little.
We'll see.
A change of coming.
There's going to be something coming.
Well, I want to pivot a little bit and talk about the situation with Teresa and Joe. So obviously we all saw the interview with Andy and very emotional. But what kind of changes have you seen in Teresa over the last 5 years? I mean, you've known her for so long.
Yeah.
And through this experience.
Since 16, yeah.
Yeah. What have you seen change in her?
The first change I ever saw in her, I was with her the night before Joe left. I was with the two of them. And what I saw in her was she had kind of matured while she was away. And he didn't. Like, he was, like, still telling jokes at the table. I mean, we were laughing so hard. It was me, Jacqueline, and Chris, actually.
Wow.
We were laughing so hard. Chris was crying. My makeup was running. And he was funny. But Teresa was just, like, very smooth. And I looked at her, and I, like, wow, this is a different Teresa. Now, you fast forward 4 years on her own with those kids, you know, those kids. It's almost like you become, when you lose your parents, do you now become more of an adult?
Mm-hmm.
You know, God forbid. She loses her mom. They were so close. And, you know, taking care of her dad.
Yeah.
So I've seen her evolve quite a bit. Her temper, like we couldn't, both of us had the same temper. We both come from the same place. That's even more under control now.
Yeah.
And I didn't see a difference in him that much, which I would have liked to have seen more. Like, butter could have melted in his mouth. Like, when you speak to her, Joe, why don't you say when you know, she's like, oh, well, maybe I didn't like the way you looked in jail. How about say, you know what, Teresa, you're beautiful no matter what you look like.
Yeah.
Not, I didn't think you were attractive in jail either.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Like, you want this girl? You better start talking nice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we saw Teresa change a lot even just last season through the fitness journey. I mean, Frank was right by her side through all of that. So that was really amazing to see. I mean, her to put that physical commitment in and just be so disciplined, like, that was awesome.
She's so driven. And I know when Teresa puts her mind to something, there's nothing that she will do. And she doesn't like, here, you want the real story?
Yeah.
She went to another trainer. And I was like, okay. Now the show was coming up, and me and Frank are seeing pictures of her, and I'm like, Frank, she's not ready. He goes, I know she's not. The trainer kind of backed out in the last 4 weeks. She's 4 weeks out.
Wow.
She shows up at Frank's office. It's like 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, she has to now stand. Frank has everyone stand in front of him with just a little string bikini on. She calls me. She's like, can you meet me at Frank's office? Frank's like, I don't want to be here long. Can you meet me here? So I was in my pajamas. I go there. I get Popeyes on the way. That's how I'm
going. Of course. You're eating in front of Teresa. Yeah,
and I go there, and he sees, and he has her go and pose. He says, go put on your bikini. And when he goes in, he goes, she's Dolores. Don't make me look like a jerk. I go, she's my friend. I've known her a very long time. She will come through. Frank, just please work with her. He goes, all right, but is she going to listen? I'm giving her my time. I don't have. Is she going to listen? I go, trust me. And she did. He took 15 pounds off her, and she was shredded within 2 weeks.
She looked incredible.
She looked incredible.
I mean, she literally had to call in the big guns, and that is Frank Catania.
That's right. Frankie Guns, as Michael Rappaport says.
Right. What did you think about the rumors that were swirling about Teresa? We see a lot of that conversation this season.
Well, even being as close to her, I've never been in the company of this alleged person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about it. And I'm, you know, if that was the truth, I don't want to know about it. Because if it gets out, I don't want to get blamed for talking about it. And plus, that's as close as we are, there's still things that we keep separate. And that's fine. You know, Teresa, I think, has the right to live and go out and have company. To me, as long as you're a good mother, I don't care what you do.
Right. Gia mentions in the beginning of this season as well about wanting to become a lawyer. Do you think that that was inspired by what is happening with Joe? Because was that always kind of what she wanted to do career-wise?
So a week before Teresa was going away, I ran into them in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And Teresa was like, Gia was filling out paperwork for getting into high schools, like certain like high schools. She wanted to go to private high schools. And always such a good girl. And Teresa's making lunch with me next week when actually she was going to jail. But, you know, Teresa, she doesn't, she just doesn't really grasp things until it happens, I guess.
Right,
I
right.
And
right
even then, and even then. So, as I'm making lunch plans, Gia was talking about wanting to become a lawyer because of seeing everything that her parents had gone through.
Yeah.
She wants to be a defense attorney so that she can help people like her parents.
And now Melania, too, I think, is talking about it. I mean, we're going to have a legal
team.
Wow.
Well, you know, I'm sure that's something, if it came to fruition, that they would be very passionate about.
I believe
because
it.
Because as kids, they know what it puts a family through.
Yeah, firsthand.
So I would definitely, I would love to see her kids be so successful, be attorneys, and represent people and children that have gone through what they've gone through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, what an end to a story. Huh?
I mean, truly.
I have chills.
But she does. I see them. I want to talk about the obstacle course that you guys go on. So much fun.
Oh, my God. Listen, it wasn't one of my thinner moments either.
You guys had a blast.
We had such a blast.
Did you guys let Teresa win?
No. Well, come on. Look at her. She's a beast. And then Danielle is also very athletic. I mean, how many 58-year-olds can put their legs over their head? Like, I'm sure a lot. Certainly not myself. Not now and not ever. She's very competitive when it comes to, like, things like that. I give her credit.
Competitive and talented.
Yeah, 1,000%. Entertaining. But I know she's, like, very driven also.
Mm-hmm.
When Danielle wants to do something, she does it 100%.
Well, she does something at the lunch that you guys that you host afterwards that you guys all attend. Did you have any idea that it was going to blow up?
Oh, 1,000%.
The way I mean, how could it not?
On.
Right.
Listen, I know this group very, very well. I've been around a really long time, and I can feel it in my gut. It actually is like an innate thing that I'm empathetic to, like, people. I could feel what they're feeling, like it gets stuck. Probably that's why I have an ulcer, but
probably
it gets like stuck right in my sternum,
right?
And I felt it the whole time. It's like when you have an injury and you could feel the weather coming.
Yeah,
that's how I can feel what's coming down the pipe,
right?
Like, so the storm is coming.
So did anyone end up eating any of the food that you prepared? Or
oh, the girls were eating. Yeah. My girls always eat,
right?
You know, other franchises, they like to drink. New Jersey likes to eat.
Yeah. Did you the whole situation with Jennifer and Jackie and the Instagram story, what was your take on that?
Well, I mean, you know, I didn't think it was really something that Jackie should have been so hurt by, but it wasn't done to me.
Yeah.
So Jackie isn't as thick. Listen, right off the bat, Jackie's not as thick-skinned as everyone else. She'll get there, I'm sure.
Right.
But she hasn't had... She hasn't been knocked around a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a rough crowd. I don't think it was personal. I think they were just kidding. I didn't really see. She was mimicking everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. I feel bad. But, Jack, I did talk to Jackie about it, and I said, well, I'm sorry. You know, that shouldn't have happened because I know you're upset. But then the more I thought about it, okay, so if somebody says they're sorry, it's over.
Yeah, right. Well, and I think the point was, too, you know, Jennifer was talking about her daughter being bullied, so there was sort of that layer of bullying, but...
Come on, you're going to compare that, a kid going to school and not being allowed to sit at the lunch table, to a 40, 50-year-old woman,
right?
You know, mimicking something you did. If that's how she felt, again, I don't want to see anyone hurt.
Yeah. What's your take on Margaret and Danielle? Because not only do we have the tension between Jennifer and Jackie, but then things get fired up once again with Danielle and Margaret. And you've had your issues with Danielle in the past.
Right. So the blessing in disguise for me was having my issues with Danielle very early on. I learned right there how to handle her.
Yeah.
And that was like, yeah, would I love to see Danielle out? She's funny. I want to see how the guys come. They run. She walks in a place. Everybody comes running. Like, she, they don't know who she is.
Yeah.
But they fight over her to get to her. I needed to witness this. I want to know what's going on. Is it the perfume? Is it the way she carries herself? But I know that if you go out with her one night, you're going to pay. Because what if she makes up something about me? Right. Like she did once before.
Yeah.
So it's not for free, that entertainment. So I always kind of kept to myself. When my problem was over with her, I just kind of like sat back and watched the show.
Yeah.
Got my popcorn and watched the show. But as far as Danielle and Margaret, that's a little rough.
That's a little rough.
Yeah.
I was laughing too over the whole Jennifer bringing up Danielle's real name and not knowing what a trigger that was.
But you have to understand, Jennifer. Like, meanwhile, the meltdown is on the floor and Jennifer keeps saying it.
Right.
Like, who doesn't know about Beverly?
I mean, it's huge.
Who doesn't know about Beverly?
Right.
Where you been?
Do your research.
Did you miss the memo?
It's published, I think. Well, Dolores, thank you so much for coming in. We're so excited about the new season.
Thank you. Me too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Bye.
Real Housewives of Dallas?
Yes.
It's Travis's 50th birthday.
Happy birthday, Travis.
He looks so good for his age. I just love him. But we open up with them going to medieval times, which at first he thought they were like maybe going to a gay club because he knew that there was a gay club in the area.
Calm down.
I'm like losing my breath over here. But he thinks they're going to the gay club. He knows there's a gay club on the corner. They end up at medieval times. Have you ever been to a medieval times?
I have.
What did you think of it? What was your interpretation of the whole experience?
I was actually really small when I went.
Okay, so this was, you were like a proper child.
Yeah, because this is like a common like children's birthday party spot.
Right.
You went as an adult?
So I have never been.
Okay.
And I don't really have much of a desire to go. Like, it's just, it's not like Renaissance fairs, like those things. It doesn't speak to me as it might to others.
Right.
But it reminded me of my friend Matilda, who a couple years ago, she went on a work adventure at her new company, and they took them away for the whole entire weekend.
Wow.
And they just, like, were partying, but, like, doing all sorts of different events. And on the way back, they stopped at the medieval times in New Jersey. Now, mind you, they had been partying so much, and my friend Matilda, for a long time, was vegan and is now vegetarian, but like a huge proponent for like animals and animal rights and protection and all of that. So she gets to medieval times with like her coworkers and she's like drunk and she just bursts into tears and can't control herself because she feels so bad for the horses. She's like, this is not fair. This is so awful. But they're like drinking and everyone else is like having a good time. And Matilda's just like in the corner crying, but like still trying to get through it, but she's just like overcome with emotions.
And also, I'm sure everyone's eating like turkey legs.
Exactly. Like, they don't even give you utensils there. Like, you have to ask for them. So everyone's like ripping meat into the, you know, like, and she's just like watching these horses run around. And being,
I feel like I relate to Matilda.
I figured you would. So it just like, I didn't even experience this, but it's just like medieval times is now triggering for me on her behalf.
Right. Poor Matilda.
So right before they go into medieval times, Stephanie loses her shit and like uncontrollably laughs in this crazy high-pitched laugh.
You've lost your shit.
I'm like, whatever you're on, sister, you need to pass that around.
So Cam decides she's going to skip Travis's birthday party to attend her daughter's dance recital.
Oh.
But also, she uses that as an excuse, but she also basically says she's not going to go because she's still salty about Stephanie bailing on Leanne's shower.
For going to her son's school event.
Now, isn't this just like taking petty to a whole new level?
I mean, you're just hurting yourself to not go to a fun party.
Right. And it's a really epic party.
It cost $100,000.
Right. They had like a country music star there. Plus, to see Deandra dressed as Mama D is worth it. Okay.
And drunk off her ass.
Drunk off her ass. I mean, I just think that if it was Cam's own event, if Cameron was having like a vow renewal with Court and Stephanie was like, I can't go, I'd be like, all right, I understand why Cameron is taking it so personally. But for her to take it personally on Leanne's behalf, just because it was a party she was organizing, it just seems like she's looking for any excuse to not maintain this friendship with Stephanie, which is so weird. And we see Stephanie get really upset about it when she's talking with her mom, and like we're peeling back the layers even more so of what Stephanie went through in her life about never feeling good enough. And, you know, I love that we're just learning so much about Stephanie over the course of like the last couple of seasons. It's just great to see someone like opening up, but not like giving it all to you right at once.
Right.
You know, it's I think it's important to peel those layers back to understand someone and where they come from.
Yeah.
I have a theory. When we get to the party, Brandy shows up dressed as a Playboy bunny.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme of the party is midlife crisis. So everyone sort of interprets it in their own way. Or Leanne just doesn't interpret it at all and just shows up in a regular outfit. But Brandy says something about like, what's more of a midlife crisis than dressing up as a Playboy bunny when you're in your 40s?
Mm.
Who doesn't like a Playboy bunny? It screams midlife crisis because anybody that's willing to wear a Playboy bunny outfit in their 40s obviously wants attention.
And for whatever reason, I immediately thought of last season, Beverly Hills, Kyle Richards dressed up as a Playboy bunny for the Farrowween party.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that a dig at Kyle, or do we think that Brandy is just like totally in Brandy's own world and like,
oh yeah, I can't imagine she would have like any issue with Kyle,
any beef with Kyle.
Also, Kelly Bensimone was in Playboy in her 40s.
That's
so
true. That's true. I don't know. It just like, it struck me in a way where I was like, is she being shady?
Mm. And plus, everyone has been a Playboy. Sarah was a Playboy bunny for Halloween. I mean, you're not in your 40s. Right.
No. Sarah's like, no, I'm not.
But it's a pretty common Halloween
costume.
Right.
But like for it to be a midlife crisis costume is a little different.
What do you think your midlife crisis will look like?
Oh, God. I don't know. I liked that Travis's interpretation was like the head-to-toe Gucci look. Like, I wonder if mine will be like, I will just spend too much money on designer clothes and just like look ridiculous. I don't know. I hope I don't have a midlife crisis.
I bet you will.
Do you think you're going to have one?
Yeah, but mine will involve sleeping with 20-year-old boys.
Men. We can call them men. Oh, you know what my midlife crisis might end up being? Like, you know how Stephanie dressed up as Peg Bundy? Mine might be like, I'll end up like Al. Like, I'll just end up on the couch all the time.
Eric, no.
And just like sad and like cranky.
Oh, that, you know, hurts. I mean, my heart, well, for your future.
I know. I mean, I hope not, but I feel like, you know, they always say like, don't live in New York too long because it will break you and then you'll just be miserable and cynical. And I'm like, I'm not there yet because I've been here for 5 years. And I'm still like, I love New York. But like, what if that's what happens to me?
Wow.
Just become like a curmudgeon.
Ugh.
Because it's usually like the opposite of who you were before, right?
You'll have a beer belly.
Oh my God, no. Probably. It runs in the family. Okay, so now we have to discuss a little bit of what was said about Travis. A couple times in the past, Stephanie and Travis have referenced like butt sex as, you know, a special occasion type of thing, very similar to like Bronwyn and Sean having their threesome. Special occasions only.
Okay.
He goes, Rich goes, we just asked him one thing. Ask him if he's going to get butt sex tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, he asked me earlier today.
I knew it.
I was like, yes, of course. It's no secret that Travis asked for butt sex on special occasions. I love you so much. This is the most amazing surprise I've ever been given in my entire life.
You owe me butt sex?
Okay. Dad, my father is right here.
But in her interview, Stephanie references something about putting something up Travis's butt.
And I have zero problem sticking something up his ass. Happy birthday.
And it immediately made me think of last season, Beverly Hills again. Camille made a couple references about her sexcapades with Kelsey Grammer. And like, she had referenced something about pegging him. And I'm like, is this a far more common thing than we think? And the irony of her dressed up as Peggy. We really need Stephanie to come back in here for an interview because I have some follow-up questions from our last interview. Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
I think my rose is Jolie from Real Housewives of Orange County. kind of sad I didn't see her at the reunion. I just find her to be so wise and always giving her mom like sage advice.
Yeah, it's so true. She is very much an old soul. And Kelly says it in this episode. She's just like, damn, where'd I get this girl?
Yeah. What was your rose?
My rose, two-parter again, from Below Deck. Ashton and Brian painting each other for the full moon party.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then also Kate talking about Brian's penis ravine.
I think that all men should go to a plastic surgeon and get penis ravine implants. You can have a small penis if you've got a big ravine.
Have you? Is that a term?
I don't think so. I've always just referred to it as like the V.
The V.
And like it is a very attractive quality on a man.
Because it's basically like an arrow pointing.
Right. It's just like here. Come over here this way. But I loved the penis ravine and just like the way Kate was just like cracking herself up in the interview about it. Like, I like that we now have this term. So
yes.
Thank you for that, Kate. What was your thorn?
Also from Real Housewives of Orange County, I just felt Eddie's general attitude towards Ryan's issues to be a little bit not okay. Just the whole like man up and get over it. I don't like that.
Yeah.
When you're struggling with your childhood issues as a man, I don't think you're a man. Okay, so just get over it, move on, grow up, take care of your responsibilities. That's life.
Repression is not a good look on anyone.
Well said. What was your thorn?
My thorn was from Real Housewives of Orange County and is Tamara printing the text messages. What a waste of paper. We saw Lisa Vanderpump do it last season on Beverly Hills with the whole Puppygate situation. If you're going to print a text message, why not just use a screenshot? Just like reference the screenshot.
Right.
Print it out. Could be doctored.
True.
You know? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Whereas
exactly.
Like I would just like come with the screenshots.
On Vanderpump, I don't think they'd be like printing things out.
Right. No.
Can't imagine they know how to use a printer.
No, they don't. None of them probably even own one. I don't have a printer. I just use the one here.
So next week, we will be sharing our live episode of the podcast from BravoCon.
Can't wait to share it with you guys.
Eric, BravoCon is coming.
Oh, I'm so excited.
If you can't make it to New York City, don't worry. The Bravo Digital team is bringing you all the good stuff from the biggest weekend of the year.
To keep up with BravoCon, make sure to visit our live blog on bravotv.com/BravoCon/live starting November 15th.
We'll keep you up to date with everything you need to know in real time, including talent sightings, panel recaps, breaking news, fan costumes.
You know someone is going to dress up like Erica Jane.
It's probably you. And so much more. Plus, we'll be doing a live episode of our show. So be sure to visit bravotv.com/BravoCon/live for all the updates during BravoCon weekend.
And follow us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
See you in New York. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife. You can ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye. Bye.